You want to do that? Talk about the Lord. About his way. that was great. Amen. Well, I'm going to continue talking about, I don't even know if I titled this correctly or not, but how to recognize the voice of God. And I think this is our third week going in this. And I've been sharing a lot of things just from my own life and how the Lord has spoken to me and how he has helped me to recognize his voice. I'm not perfect at it all the time. I still make mistakes. I still wonder whether some things are God, some things are not. However, I've gotten better, and that's the main thing, that we are growing in our relationship with the Lord. We're growing in our understanding of him. We're growing in recognizing his voice, how he speaks to us. And no matter how good or how accurate we think we can hear God's voice, it is my personal opinion we can all be more accurate. We can all grow in that even better than where we're at right now. So just to qualify some of this, like I've mentioned the last couple weeks, many of the illustrations and examples that I give you, they're mine, they're personal to me, and they're used just to help. That's all. The way God speaks to me, how he has spoken to me, the ways in which he has done some things to help me, it may be much different than you. It may be very similar too, but it may be different. And so I just want to say that so you understand that they're not cut and dried. He will always do it this way. Why? Because God's alive. He's not a machine. He's not mechanical. And we have individual relationships with him, and he speaks to us on an individual basis. And he speaks our language, too. We're going to talk about that a little bit upcoming. You know, I really thought this was going to be a one Sunday. Let's just kind of briefly talk about this thing. And gosh, I don't know how many more weeks this might go. So I hope it's been a blessing so far to you and a help. You know, without being able to recognize God's voice, it's impossible to have intimacy with him. Can't be intimate with somebody you can't communicate with, you can't talk to. God has said a lot of things in his written word, but he's also saying things to us today. We need what he has said, and we also need what he's saying to us personally. Amen? Romans 1:17, you don't have to turn there. I just want to do a little bit of review and add some things. Romans 1:17 and Galatians 3:11 both say this: the righteous man shall live by every desire that he has, right? Isn't that in one of the newer translations? Not sure. It probably is. Man, the righteous man shall live by faith. What is faith? Good morning, Sandy. How are you? What is faith? I know you didn't come to have questions asked. I know. What is faith? I think faith is a very misunderstood concept. Faith isn't what I want to happen. Faith isn't my desire. Faith isn't, if I say it enough and believe it enough, that it'll happen. Faith is simply having trust and confidence in God. Faith has to have an object. The object's not my confession. It's not my desire. It's not what I want to happen. The object is God himself. It is the person and the character and nature of who God is. That's where my trust. So God is saying here in these two passages, the righteous man shall live by trusting and having confidence in God. To have confidence and trust in God, we have to know what he has said, and we also have to know what he's saying. Because faith begins where the will of God is known. And if we don't know what the will of God is for any situation, then we can't say we're in faith. Because we have trusting and having confidence in God. So that's our orientation. Do you know that we were created? Notice Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, Jesus says this: man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Notice he said man. He didn't say righteous man, like these other two passages. Jesus just said man. Do you know man was created to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Not just the righteous man. Man. Man was created. This is our created purpose. To live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Our created purpose. Life is so unfulfilling when we're not living according to our created purpose. In other words, it's very fulfilling, life, when we are living according to our created purpose. So to be able to have faith in God, we have to know what God is saying. Now, this might shock some of you. I hope it doesn't, but it might. God does not exist for our good pleasure. I got a new ear this week, and this thing is not holding on to my new ear. God does not exist for our good pleasure. We exist for His good pleasure. We exist for His good pleasure. I want to mention something that it is a principle by which I live, and I can prove it by the Word of God. And it's within context of recognizing the voice of God. This has helped me, this principle. Anything that God tells me to do, any job He tells me to take, any place He tells me to go, whether I like it or not, is always for my benefit. Always. And for the benefit of the kingdom. Always. Jesus didn't want to go to the cross. But He said, not my will, but yours be done. Remove this cup from me, but whatever you say, Lord, I'm going to do it. There are many times God speaks to us and we don't have the desire. And we can be fooled by not having a desire for what God says, thinking it's not God because we don't have the desire for it. So no matter what God tells me, everything He says, everything He has already commanded, anything that He is speaking to me to do is always for my benefit. I know He loves me, He's affectionate towards me, He cares for me, and He wants me to be like Christ, His Son. And He is developing Christ-like character in us. What are the two, we've talked about this the last couple of weeks, what are the two primary overall purposes of God in the earth? Number one is for every human being to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, right? To be born again. Once we are born again, what's His primary purpose in our life? Now you can word it several different ways. What's that? To be conformed into the image of Christ, to become Christ-like in character. To develop our relationship with Him. As we are developing a relationship with Him, we are becoming more and more like Christ, because that's what He's doing in our life. So when He speaks to us and He has us to do things, it's primarily, yes, He's teaching us. He wants us to be like He is. He's teaching us faith. He's teaching us His voice. But He's conforming us into the image of His Son, Jesus Christ, in character. Character is something you cannot fake for very long. And the enemy knows when you have it, and he knows when you don't. We have talked about the limitless ways that God communicates to us. I just love the Lord. I mean, He is like really fun, and He's funny, and He's exciting. When we take the time every day just to be aware of Him. And we've talked about that too. To be aware of His presence. Not just Sunday morning. Not just when we're listening to worship music, not just when we're at prayer or at a Bible study, but all of the time, being aware, practicing being aware of His presence all of the time. God speaks to me at some of the craziest times. He does. And a lot of the times, I don't have something to write down what He's telling me. It's like I was driving in the car the other day, and I'm going down the highway. I was on 470, and He just starts down, and I'm looking. I'm not in my car. I'm looking. I don't have anything to write all of this stuff down. It was so sweet and so good. And it concerns me sometimes when it's like that, because I go from point A to point B and I don't remember how I got there. Does that ever happen to you? You know, you're having that time with the Lord or whatever. There's limitless ways. How many ways can God communicate to us? I don't think we can count. He can speak to us through the stars, the planets. I'm not talking about astrology. God created the stars. He can speak to them. He's proved it in the Word that He can speak through the stars. He can speak through anything He wants. He can speak through somebody that's very, very young, very, very old, and anybody in between. He can speak through a woman. He can speak through a man. He can speak through billboards, TV, movies. He can speak through whatever He wants. I think what we must be very careful about is we don't cut off any means by which He wants to communicate to us. That we're always aware of His presence, we're always aware of Him and how He's communicating, and allow Him to communicate through whoever we want or He wants to communicate. Through whoever or whatever. He can speak through His animals, He can speak through creation, He can speak however He wants. When we start saying in ourselves, making these vows within us, that God has to speak to us, sometimes they're not even verbal. We don't even speak it out loud. God needs to speak to me like this. I can just about promise you, I can't, just about promise you, He will speak to you other than what you want. And we short circuit, we really cut off God's voice, God's speaking to us. Now, this is a personal thing. I've never been offended by this. I will never be offended by this. But this has happened in ministry ever since I got into ministry. And when I was a youth pastor, this would happen quite often. Occasionally it happens now, but not all of the time. But when a parent has children and they come to me and they are wanting some kind of counsel, and then they preface it by, well, you don't have children, so you won't understand. And I don't have children, Renee and I don't have children, and you're probably right. I'm sure if I had kids, I would learn a lot of things that I don't know. However, when we make those kinds of statements, we are shutting off a vessel that God may want to speak through. Paul, the Apostle Paul, was never married, never had children, and the Holy Spirit used the Apostle Paul to give marriage counseling and children counseling and wrote it down for all of us. Jesus never had kids, and He's the best children's counselor there is. He was never married. He never rode a motorcycle, except with me. He rides with me. He was on earth. He didn't drive a car. He didn't have a lot of experiences that we have, but He's the best, and nobody would ever deny that. I have learned in my life that whether somebody has experienced a circumstance that I've gone through, to never cut that person off, because God may want to use that vessel to speak wisdom. They may be speaking something they don't even know what they're talking about, but the Holy Spirit's speaking through them. And I don't ever want to cut that off. Because we've had little kids, Renee and I both, we've had little kids, they'll just come up and do something. I remember Renee shared a story, a little kid just came up and hugged her, and she was just needing that love at that moment or whatever. And God was communicating that too. We never should shut off anything, anybody. Whether they know the Lord or they don't know the Lord, it doesn't matter. We should never cut off a vessel that God may want to use. While I'm on that topic, this is kind of a little side note. There's a concept, a belief in Christianity, and I personally think it's a little bit of a dangerous belief, and that is that when we go through a negative circumstance, or maybe a hurtful one, a very painful one that is not the Lord, whatever, that we assume that God wants to use us in that particular area to minister to others. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah, an experience-based ministry. Now, He may. I don't want to say He will never. He may. But He may not. I mean, I came out of the drug culture and all of those things, but I don't have a ministry. God's never called me into ministry into that particular culture. Paul, the Apostle Paul, let's talk about him for just a second. A Pharisee of Pharisees, a Jew. Trained. He knew the law inside and out, and then he had an experience with the Lord, and now he knew the Lord by relationship, but we would think with human reasoning that God, the Holy Spirit, would call Paul to minister to Jews. No, He called him to the Gentiles. And he called Peter to the Jews. And I'm saying this a lot because we need to understand the character, nature, and God's ways, the way he does things and his purposes. They're not like we would typically do it. We can't figure God out with just human reasoning. We can't discern his voice with human reasoning. We are always going to need the Holy Spirit. Always. When God speaks, we need the Holy Spirit to reveal to us what he's actually saying for understanding of it. I'm involved with a group that is really wanting to get the Bible into the hands of, and have a million people in Kansas City engaged in scripture. And it's wonderful, people reading the Bible. But one of the things I said is if these people aren't born again, they are unspiritual in the sense of they're not ever going to understand it. You've got to be born again and have the Spirit of God on the inside of you for you to even understand the Word. Oh, the Word of God. And when Jesus spoke, he spoke in parables. He spoke in these stories. It's like, what is he saying? We need the Holy Spirit to reveal the truth to it. We can't just be surface here. That's where we get into all kinds of odd beliefs and weird stuff is on the surface. All right, everybody with me so far? Are you still there? Let me address one other thing. I actually meant to say this the other day. And it goes along with limiting how God will speak. Now, the old saying is, if I had a dollar every time I heard this, I'd probably be a rich guy. But I've heard people say this all the time. Like when a situation or a topic comes up, we're talking about it, and a person will say, well, I'm not really sure about that. But when God speaks to me, meaning that when God speaks to my spirit and I hear him here, then when he just may have already spoke. You understand what I'm saying? Do I need to give an illustration with that? Yes, because you're all looking at me odd. Illustration, please. I'm praying, all right? Stick with me, I'm praying. I can't think of a good one, so I'll just come up with one. Is that all right? Oh, God. Uh-oh. This will be a goofy one because it's coming from me. If God were to say, let's say God was speaking to my heart, or actually he was speaking through somebody else. Let's just say Scott. Scott came to me and was just saying, you know, Joe, and we're friends, and so Scott and I are friends, so he's got liberty to really just speak into my heart if he sees something, even if it's negative, it's wrong, or whatever. And he might come to me and just say, hey, Joe, I'm seeing this. And then I can just like, I'm seeing this in your life. It's just, you know, maybe we can discuss this or whatever. And I can just get all haughty and say, well, when God reveals it to me, then I'll address it. When God may have just did it. Because I didn't maybe like the words he chose. Or his facial expression or body language when he gave it. That's what I'm talking about when we cut it off. So we're like, well, God's got to speak to me in my heart. See, I'll use Paul again. When Paul had the blinding light experience, and he's blind and he heard the Lord speak to him, he was blind for 3 days. The Lord could have came right to Paul and took care of business between him and Paul and got his sight back. He could have just decreed his eyes back if that's the way the Lord wanted it. But the Lord chose not to. He said, no, another man's going to have to bring you what I want you to, what I want you to know has to come through another man. And this happens all of the time. That's the way God chooses it. He can speak to us directly in our heart, or he can choose. There are some things he will keep from us. And the only way to get it is through another person. And when we live a life where we're thinking, no, God can just speak to me. Yes, he can, but he's chosen to do something else. And we have to be careful we're not limiting God and limiting of what and who he wants to speak through. We've talked about the written word. The written word is our framework. It's our guide. God doesn't contradict his word. When he speaks, sometimes it might sound like a contradiction. Sometimes scripture sounds like a contradiction, but it's not. We need a deeper understanding of that. And so the Word, God doesn't speak outside of His Word. The Word, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Word, and the Father, they all agree. And they're in agreement. I use that, you know, the ridiculous, but I've heard it before, illustration, that when somebody comes and says, oh, I'm supposed to divorce my wife and marry this other woman. No, I don't even need to pray about it. We don't need to take time to counsel about prayer. No. Because the Word. So there are things that are written in the Word that are principle, and they're guidelines, are things that will help us to understand and recognize God's voice. But one of the things we must be very careful about is we have a relationship with the written Word, but not a relationship with the living Lord. And that's possible. Jesus told the Pharisees, He said, you search the Scriptures because you think in them is eternal life. And here's Jesus standing in front of them wanting to have a relationship, and they were so blinded because they had a relationship with the Bible, Scripture, and not the Lord. Jesus' first miracle, He took water, the Word, and mixed it with. He didn't remove the water, He added the Spirit to it and made it into wine. We need both. We need the Spirit of God and we need the Word of God. Amen. Okay, we spoke about the character of God, how important it is to know the character of God. God's character never changes. See, I may say something that I didn't really mean. I may not have worded it right. I may even do something I can't even believe I've done that. But God is never like that. He says what He means all the time. He does what He means to do all of the time. He's not wishy-washy. Now, nobody in here is like this, but you've probably seen Christians or heard about in some story somewhere where people will say, well, God's got me doing this ministry. And not 30 days later, God's got me doing this now. And then God's got me doing that. And it's like, you're going back. God's not wishy-washy. Y'all are quiet on me. God's not changing His mind constantly. Typically, can I just be blunt about it? Typically, we may have heard what God said to do, and then we didn't really like it. It wasn't what we thought it was be. Or it was harder than what we thought. Oh, well, maybe God's got me doing this, or God's got me going here. You don't see that pattern in the Word, where God's always changing His mind with somebody, back and forth, do this, start that, stop this, go here, go there, all the time, back and forth. So knowing the character of God, that you guys are quiet. You didn't like that one? Okay. I'm just teasing, by the way, when I make stupid comments like that. Knowing God's purposes, we just discussed that. We've talked about it over and over. What is God's purpose? What is God's purpose with me? He wants me to become more like Christ in character. That's His number one thing. When I gave the illustration about God wanting me to buy a car that was $300 more than the other one, the exact same brand new cars, two different dealerships, that went against my human reasoning. It went against my nature. No, you get the cheapest thing, the best price, and I enjoyed working the salesman as much as I possibly can. And God says, no, I want you to do that. I want you to buy that. Sometimes when God speaks, it doesn't register with our human reasoning. It doesn't register sometimes with the typical normal way we do life or do business. Always being, we talked about this and then I'll move on. Constantly being aware of the presence of God all day long. Turning our inner conversations. Everybody talks to themselves, or am I the only one? I talk to myself all day. I'm always talking to myself. And I'm thinking, and I'm, you know, all these kinds of things, and how can I do this, and what about that, is turning, just directing those inner conversations to a conversation with the Lord. That helps you to be more aware of His presence all day long, and it makes you more sensitive to His voice when He's speaking back, when He's talking back. Okay. And then always look for Him. All right, I need to address this thing. Does anybody have any tomatoes or eggs? Put them down. No matter what it is, and since we're talking about recognizing God's voice, there's extremes to it, right? And we can start thinking God is saying things when He really isn't. We can make things up. We get so, I don't know what to call it. We get so maybe zealous. You know, the prophetic goes to like an extreme. God can and does speak through everything. And maybe with you, God speaks maybe through numbers a lot, or maybe through dates, or, you know, maybe God uses animals or whatever. He has a kind of a stream with you and how he speaks to you. But God doesn't speak to, isn't speaking that way constantly. Here's what I mean. And I'm just going to use numbers. God does speak through numbers, and he'll use numbers to speak. But every time we see a number, it doesn't mean God's speaking. And we could begin making numbers say things that they're not. Okay? So we can do that with a lot of things. Now, I'll give you an illustration here. This has nothing to do with numbers. A number of years ago, I think it was only the first couple of years we were in this building, this water fountain right out here in the hallway had just a plastic line that fed the... And I was here late one night doing some counseling. I think I left here about 9 o'clock. And I came the next morning, and when I opened up that back door, it was Niagara Falls in this building. I mean, water was rushing down the stairs, hitting the thing, and going down to the floor. We had ceiling tiles downstairs. This whole sink, except for the back area, it kind of slopes forward. There was just a puddle of water right here and underneath this. I mean, we were completely flooded by a water fountain. And it happened somewhere between after I left 9 p.m. until I got here somewhere around 8 o'clock the next morning in less than 12 hours. And we had a disaster on our hands. Well, in that disaster, somebody came to me and said, got all excited, and said, whoa, we're going to experience the flood of the Holy Spirit, and that was God, you know, speaking through that water. I wanted to say, are you stinking crazy? But there's belief systems like that. God didn't have to cause a flood to communicate that we're going to have a move of the Holy Spirit. I mean, come on. But there's stuff like that that is going on all of the time. We've got to have discernment, some spiritual discernment and understanding of when God is speaking. Does God still speak through dreams today? Absolutely. But I want to tell you something. Not every spiritual dream is from God. Does God still speak through visions today? Absolutely. But not every spiritual vision you have is from God. Can you prove that by the word? Yes, I can. Jesus' temptation in the wilderness. Now, you may think that Satan showed up with a pitchfork and a pointed tail to Jesus face to face, but I don't. I believe he came to Jesus exactly the way he comes to us. He came to him in his mind, and he began showing him, saying, so when it says that he took him up to the pinnacle, that was a vision that Jesus was seeing, looking. And then he says that he took him to a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world. Well, how do you see all the kingdoms of the world from one mountain in the natural? You can't. But when you have a spiritual vision, you can. And those visions were not the Lord. They were from the enemy. So we have to have discernment in our dreams and on our visions, what's God and what's not. We can spend a lot of time trying to figure out what the enemy's doing. Okay, I feel like I'm going to get on a soapbox, so I'm going to back down. What's that? Soap it up. So we can go overboard in things. It's very easy to get in the natural and go overboard with this. John 10, 4 through 5, my sheep, Jesus said, my sheep follow me because they know my voice. What does it mean to be a sheep? We belong to him. We have received Christ. We have been born again. So those that have been born again are my sheep. Number two, what's a number two important thing about that illustration? My sheep know my voice. Well, if you're his sheep and they get a picture of a sheep pen or a sheep herder, shepherd, you've been doing what? Spending time with the shepherd. You've been focusing on his voice. We don't need to study counterfeit to know what the true is. We need to spend time focusing on the true, on the righteous one, the holy one, our good shepherd. The voice of strangers, they will not follow because they don't know his voice. Why? Because they're not spending time, hello, focused on what the enemy is doing, seeing demons on every doorknob, all the enemies out, all the enemies doing this, all the enemies. Where's God? We don't serve the enemy. He's a defeated foe. Hebrews 5:14 says this. Solid food is for the mature because of practice. They have their senses trained to discern what is good and what is evil. Because of practice. This is where things begin to break down within Christianity, from my perspective. And as I said at the very first one, we mentioned this scripture, the very first, I'm going to say it again. I think many are just plain too lazy. They're plain too lazy to practice living a lifestyle of holiness and a relationship with the Lord, spending time getting to know what's in His Word. What is He saying? You know, when I was born again, I had the encounter of born again. I didn't like to read, and I didn't read much. But when I got born again, I devoured the Scriptures. Because I so wanted to know who this God was that loved me, that cared for me, that came to me in my sickness and my sin and my hardship and said, I love you in spite of all of those things. I love you for who you are. I never experienced that kind of unconditional love before. And it caused me to find out about this God. To devour Him. We don't spend the time. I was at a meeting this last week with all ministry leaders. One of the guys in this meeting, he's not a senior pastor, but he's a pastor on a staff of a church that's well over 2,000 people in the congregation. And he made this statement. He said, in the halls of our church, I have conversations with people in our congregation about the Word of God, about Scripture, basic things all the time. And they look at me like they don't know what I'm talking about. And he goes, I know they don't know the Word. That is a sad, sad state of affairs. We're not just talking about somebody that just got born again here. We're so shallow in knowing about the, and then when crises times, we want to hear God's voice and we haven't been preparing ourselves and learning and understanding who God is and how to recognize His voice and how to speak to us. I mean, we had, how many of you finished the New Testament, read through the New Testament in 40 days? Amen. But you know what why I didn't push it as much as this time as I did last, but it's just a tool to help people get engaged in the Scripture. It's amazing how many Christians, they're not even engaged in Scripture. I don't mean this to condemn you, but how are we going to know the God that loves us so much, that we're living for, if we don't even spend time reading to find out about Him? We are so blessed to live in this generation where we have Old Testament Scriptures and New Testament Scriptures. Noah had nothing except the Lord. Abraham, they didn't have Scriptures. Adam and Eve, we are blessed to have the Scriptures and to have a personal relationship with Him. I want to take just a few minutes and I want to talk about a little bit more in depth on how when God speaks, it doesn't really make sense to our natural minds. Okay. Why don't we turn in Matthew chapter 16? Matthew chapter 16. No, I'm not going to talk about ecclesia. I know what a couple of you thought. However, what I am going to talk about happened right after that conversation about ecclesia. When Peter says, you are the Messiah, Son of the Living God, when he had that deep revelation of who Jesus really truly is, and Jesus said, no flesh and blood, no man spoke this to you. You didn't learn it in Sunday school. You didn't learn it anywhere in synagogue. God spoke to your heart. And you just spoke what you heard God say and right on. Right after that, it says, from that time, verse 21, Matthew 16, verse 21. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests, scribes, and be killed and be raised up on the third day. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Are you getting the picture of this? At least 3 years Peter's lived with Jesus, knows he's the Messiah, Son of God. He's speaking out of his own mouth. This is not like, you know, we're the unseen God and he's speaking. I'm not sure whether. No, Jesus is speaking. Peter has this, and I'm just going to call it an emotional response. No! Come here, Jesus, and begins to rebuke him. This is just a fascinating. We can spend a lot of time on this one. Says, God forbid it, Lord. Can I just add some things for myself? God's not saying that. God's just spoke. This happens. It's like my illustration with Scott. That's not God. God just spoke. God forbid it, Lord. This shall never happen to you. Now, my personal belief, this is my opinion. I want you to understand that. Sometimes, and this is, let me kind of merge some of my own personal thing. When I first began to know that God was speaking to me, and I recognized his voice, like I knew God spoke, it was like just a couple words. I got so excited, so emotionally excited. God spoke to me, and I wanted to tell people. What I forgot to do was wait until he was finished. I just got so excited that he spoke. I ran out the door. And I'm like, oh, wow, God spoke to me. And I ran out, as it were, half-baked, half-cocked, and I didn't get it all. So my personal opinion is that when Jesus said, I'm going to be beat, whipped, and crucified, that Peter got so emotionally caught up in that part, part A, he missed part B. And I'm coming back to life on the third day. That's what he said. But he was like, no, this should never happen to you. He wasn't referring, no, you shouldn't be raised from the dead. No, you shouldn't be beaten and crucified and treated that way because you're the Messiah, Son of the living God. And what did Jesus say? Get behind me, Satan. Man, I've had God rebuke me one time extremely strong, made every hair on my body. Matter of fact, when I even talk about that, it makes every hair on my body stand up. But God's never called me Satan, thank God. Get behind me, Satan. Now, there's a ton here. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are not setting your mind on God's interests, but man's. And that's the point I want to make from this scripture when it comes to hearing and recognizing God's voice. It's all about our mindset. Mindset. What did Jesus say? Your mind, Peter, is not set on God, but on man's interests. This is huge. Romans 5, I'll just quote it. You don't have to turn there. It's Romans 8, verse 5 through 8. It says, for those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who are according to the Spirit, paraphrase here, they set their mind on the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death. But the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mindset on the flesh is hostile toward God, it does not subject itself to the law of God. For it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Now I know the NIV translates to sin nature, and that's a horrible translation. It's actually a bad interpretation is what it is. And you get rid of your NIV, but that's just me. Mindset. When we get born again, what does the Bible tell us that is our responsibility? Romans 12, 1 and 2. It's our responsibility. It doesn't say pray about it. It doesn't say ask God to do it. It says we are to do it. That's why it's not important just to get people to read this, but to meditate and to get into the scriptures and get understanding, dig deep into the Word of God. Why? Because when we're doing that, we're retraining the way we think. And when we retrain the way we think, it changes the way we speak and it changes the way we act. And we begin to get more of the mind of God, how He does things, His purpose, His ways, His understanding, His character, knowing there are many things we don't ever have to pray about by just knowing the character of God. Somebody could come to me and say, if I know the character of God in this certain thing, no. That's not true, because it's out of character for God. God is not, God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same God of the Old Testament as is the new. It's not a different God. He's the same one. And how He deals with people. So those who have their mindset, the word flesh means natural, earthly, human. Human nature. So when our mind is set in a human reasoning, human natural way, we miss the spiritual implication of what God is communicating. That's why, you know, we get things out of order where Paul is addressing women that should wear head covering while praying. It's cultural. God wasn't commanding that. Women should keep quiet in the church. Paul was addressing an issue that was happening in the church. And how many people believe that every woman should be quiet in the church? Nobody here, I understand that. Or women should wear head coverings. And we miss this. Why? Because our mindset is in the natural, based on cultural things, and not in the spiritual implication. That's how we misunderstand Old Testament laws and different things that God has set. We miss that because our mind is so set in the natural. Now, I'm going to say something that I know some people are going to disagree with, but I say a lot of things a lot of people disagree with. Sometimes I say stuff and I go home and I'm like, I don't even think I agree with that. And I think Jesus proved this one, and that's the Sabbath day. That everything, when Jesus came, He fulfilled everything from the Old Testament. Fulfilled. Meaning that it's okay to observe those things, but they are fulfilled. So what's the fulfillment? That's why the religious mindset got all upset when it seemed like He was breaking the Sabbath by healing people. Because they are missing the spiritual implication. Why? Because they're judging based on human reasoning. Another thing, and I want to talk about this because this is real important. Not today. But just to throw it out there. The Bible, Scriptures, is written from a Hebrew, some Greek, and some Roman culture. And because of the cultural implications, when we try to define what God is saying, we put it in an American, North American culture, and we can misinterpret. Meaning that when God speaks to me, He doesn't speak to me when He speaks personally. He doesn't speak to me through a Chinese culture. You know why? Because I don't know it. He speaks to me through a North American, a culture that I understand because He's a personal God. Understand? Well, we'll talk about that later. So Jesus says, I'm going to go to Jerusalem and I'm going to be arrested. I'm going to be beat. I'm going to be crucified. And Peter rebukes Him. That can't be the Lord. I want you to just grasp that, because that is the Lord standing. This is natural. Jesus is standing there talking to Peter. How can you misinterpret that? But He didn't agree with what He said. Because why? Jesus said it. Because of His mindset. That's why people misunderstood what Jesus said all the time. Remember when He's in the synagogue in Capernaum, and He makes this statement. You have to drink My blood and eat My flesh. Now, I don't know about you, but if I heard that, I think I've been wigging out just a little bit. Why? Because I would have interpreted. See, we have the benefit of Scripture and 2,000 years of history and teaching, and we know about the sacraments, and we know about the Lord's communion. We know all of that. They didn't know that then. And He says, you got to eat My flesh and drink My blood. That's John chapter 6, by the way. Verse 54 says, and Jesus went into a long discussion about that. And it says at the end that many of his disciples, not people that were on the fringes, his disciples that were following him, people that he was training and discipling, Jesus had a church split. And it was all based on something he said that they couldn't interpret, they couldn't understand, it couldn't, this is too hard. Here's an amazing thing, and this happens because this is human nature. Doesn't say, there's nothing recorded that says that those people said, Jesus, what are you talking about? Can you please explain that? Because every time Jesus was asked to explain something, he did it. Nope, they just heard something and was like, that's it. That's the end of the line for me. I'm done. I'm out. Cashing in my chips and I'm going home. And Jesus turns to his 12 and he says, do you guys want to go too? I love Jesus because he's going on with the Lord regardless. Regardless. And I love Peter too. And Peter goes, we don't have anywhere to go. We're in it this far. We're in it for the, that's not really what he said, but I would paraphrase that. You have words to eternal life. I don't know what you're talking about, but hey. We've seen too much. We've gone too far. And you know what? Sometimes I encourage myself with that. Because sometimes I don't understand what God's doing or what he's saying, but I've seen too much and I've gone too far to turn back now. Somebody needs to hear that. Maybe on Facebook Live, gone too far. I've seen too many things. I've heard too much stuff. I don't understand it all. Okay, where am I? Eat my flesh, drink my blood. It's okay. I just think of stuff and then I start saying it. Is that all right to do that? I do it anyway. A year and a half ago, 2 years ago, I'm in another ministry leader meeting. And I don't remember what this meeting was about. But I'm there. And at some point during this, it was like an all-day meeting. And it was combined with some prayer. And they broke us into these small groups. And for prayer, and there was four of us in my group, and one of the guys I've known pretty well, and two of the guys I've never met before, and so we're just kind of doing some greeting, you know, who are you, and what church do you pastor, or ministry you lead, or whatever, and there's this older gentleman there, completely gray-headed, I've never seen him before, and he's from South Africa, and I found out later he's actually the father-in-law of another pastor friend of mine, but I didn't know it at the time. Well, how many of you know who Floyd McClung is? Do you know who Floyd McClung is? A few of you. He took over. He's been with YWAM for years, and he took over after Mike Bickle stepped down from how many names? It's been Kansas City Fellowship, and then it went to what? Metro. Floyd McClung took the pastorate there, Kansas City, and then he and I got connected, and we developed a friendship, and I absolutely love Floyd. What a wonderful man and a wonderful teacher. Well, Floyd moved to South Africa. This guy says he's from South Africa, and I said, oh, do you happen to know Floyd McClung? Yes, I do. And I'm thinking to myself, this guy reminds me a lot of Floyd, just his mannerisms and stuff. So anyway, we're holding hands. We greet, and we're holding hands, and we're praying. And all of a sudden, the Lord starts speaking to me, and I had a prophetic word for each one of the guys. And I just want to talk about this guy from South Africa. And this is in context of recognizing the voice of God, but being patient, okay? Being patient. Like I mentioned earlier, you know, I got so excited the first several times God spoke to me, and it's like, bam, I ran out, and God was like, hey, I'm not done talking, but I just now missed what he was saying. So I get a word for this guy, and the word went like this. I can't remember verbatim, but it was, the Lord says, you are a grandfather, and I hadn't said it yet, okay, but the word came to me, and it says, you are a grandfather to many and training. I forgot how it went, but the word grandfather was important in my illustration. And I got some words for the other guys, and I'll say, I'm good. So I'm getting ready to give this guy the word about grandfather. Now, to me, that's like one of those, okay, that's a nice little word. Just before I got to say it, the Lord said, I didn't say he's a grandfather. I'm having a conversation with the Lord now. I said, what do you mean? That's what I heard. He said, no, I said he's a grand father. Now, if I wasn't being patient, I'd have given the word grandfather and missed the part of grand father, which actually meant more to him than being a grandfather. You see what I'm saying? And so we need to be very patient when God is speaking. Because sometimes, and I'm just saying this for illustration, he takes a breath. And he's got more to say, more to communicate, and getting clarity. One of the things that I've been practicing for a number of years now, I like to say, everything I'm telling you, I am not in any way any kind of an expert in any of this. Just some things that I've been learning. And is trying to get, when he speaks, trying to get understanding. Because sometimes he'll speak and I get excited that he spoke, but I don't know what he meant. You understand what I'm saying? I've mentioned this many times. One time I'm just sitting in my living room and I'm minding my own business, and out of the blue, the Lord does that with me all the time. It's like out of the blue, he just says something, drops something in my heart, and I'm like, what in the world? And I wasn't thinking about, really, I don't even remember what I was thinking about, but it certainly wasn't the topic. And he just said, out of the blue, he says, why do you ask me to heal people? I know you guys, most of you that have been here, you've heard this a number of times. That's all he said. I sat there. Lord loves asking questions. And he doesn't do it just to have a conversation. He's also imparting. And I said, well, that's it. I don't know why I ask people. I guess, and this is what I said, aren't I supposed to? I said that to the Lord. Aren't I supposed to? He didn't say anything. Sometimes God communicates a lot through his silence. Well, I knew what the Lord wanted me to do. He wanted me to find out why I'm doing something I'm doing. So I got into the scripture. I found out in the scripture that not one time did Jesus ever ask God the Father to heal anybody, and he never taught it. And none of the disciples ever practiced that. So, but we do it. It's so common in the body of Christ. Lord, would you heal Cindy? It's not even a scriptural thing. These are just some examples of how God, because God is training us. He wants us to know and recognize his voice, and he wants us to learn and to grow and to know the word of God. Amen? So why do we ask God to heal? Well, we thought we were supposed to. We were taught that. We were taught that. What does the word say? See, the Lord wants to teach us and say things to us personally and intimately. He wants to teach us his ways. One of the things I haven't mentioned yet, which is very, very important, especially when we are first born again, I'm closing my iPad. Doesn't mean much, but just in case it gives you any hope. I don't want to steal any hope from you. What was I saying? I was closing my iPad. Yeah. Glory be to God. Let's just take a moment and just focus on the Lord. I know you got things to do today, places to go, food to eat. Don't give up hope. If you've been struggling with some kind of a disease or a sickness or an ailment of some sort, maybe even from birth, don't give up hope to be completely and totally healed. I keep hearing this too. I don't know if it's somebody here, maybe on Facebook right now, that there's some kind of pain in the jaw, like I want to just call it a tooth pain, but it seems like it's deeper than that. If there's somebody that's here, please let me know that. You have something going on with your jaw? It's right there. Somebody just lay hands on her and just speak the Lord's will for healing over that jaw. Glory be to God. I'm hearing this too, that somebody feels trapped in yesterday. And I heard somebody say this to themselves. It's always been like this. It's always been like this. And you have believed a lie that it will always be like this. And the Lord has some really good news for you. You can choose for it to not ever be like that again. To make that choice today. Is that somebody in this room? It's you? I'm sorry, we met and I forgot your name. Stacy. Glory be to God. Somebody lay hands on Stacy and pray for her. Was that you too? I'm sorry, did you acknowledge or something? Okay. A couple of you maybe lay hands on her and pray for her. If you need to go, please feel free to go whenever you need to. Lord, I thank you for restoring hope. Freedom. I feel like I'm hearing this as well, that somebody has said within their heart that I wish I was like them. I wish I was like them. The Lord says, I didn't create you to be like them. I created you to be you. And there's freedom in being who God has called you to be. Just grab a hold of that and accept that. If that's you in this room or by Facebook Live or wherever. You are unique. God's created you to be unique. And there's nobody else like you. And I just heard the Lord say this to that person or persons, that there are others that want to be like you. Glory, bless the Lord. I'm just going to say it anyway. The cat has been let out of the bag. I don't even like cats. If that means something. That's not a negative thing, by the way. Amen. Bless the Lord. Bless you. Beautiful.